He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar Heel.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taking the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
Live from ACC Tip-Off in Uptown Charlotte, the Westin Hotel. It is The Drive. So glad you're here with us, WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where just to start things off, I want to just roll through the guests that we're going to be joined by over the span of the next 3 hours. In about 10 minutes, John Shire, head coach at Duke, going to drop by. Davian Williamson and B-Dot together will be playing grammar school with us, probably informing me on how things are supposed to work. That'll be later on this hour. Kevin Keats and Hubert Davis in our 4 o'clock hour. And to close things out, we've got Wes Durham and Tony Bennett and Unusual Questions with our friend Darren Vaught helping us set up things from Uptown Charlotte today. Will Dalton, where are you broadcasting from right now? Where are you sitting as we talk to you from Uptown?
Curtisville.
That's right. WD, you're a North Carolina basketball fan.
Yes, I am.
You're not shy at pointing that out. Neither is B-Dot when he's here doing his thing, sixth man of Tar Heel basketball. Would you say, given the Coastal Division pick that I made, that looks pretty good right now, picking the Tar Heels, that, and just from the view of the Tar Heel fan, perception of Josh Graham's at an all-time high right now, at least just for right now?
I would say so, and considering you got Pitt right last year.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying from, you know, Tar Heel fans, they didn't like me very much during points of basketball season and a year ago, and I didn't think they'd be very good in football, and I just so happened to be right, just pointing that out. But right now, things pretty good. Like, our relationship's pretty good, you would say.
I'd say it's great.
Let's change that, because everybody is on the Tar Heels, it seems, to win the ACC in basketball. We'll get to the football stuff in a minute. There's still stuff in the news with Matt Rhule that we'll talk about. Jim Phillips had some comments today that I found interesting. But it seems everybody and their mother is picking North Carolina to win the ACC this basketball season, and that concerns me. And this is why. We just saw this movie in Southern California a year ago, where a team barely sneaks into the tournament, a blue blood, and makes a run to the Final Four, and everybody thinks, ah, at the peak moment on the biggest stage, because they won these games consecutively, that sample is the most meaningful. That's who you are. And UCLA was the number one team going into the year last year. Did not win the Pac-12 tournament, did not win the Pac-12, knocked out by the Tar Heels, fittingly, in the Sweet 16 last year. I see a lot of similarities with that team to this North Carolina team. I'm not saying they are what they were for the first 30, 35 games of the year where they barely made it into the tournament. I'm not saying they're at that point, but I'm also not saying what they were with Brady Manek and the run that they went on in March is who they are either. They got hot. They got to the tournament. You can't take it away from them that they got to the Final Four playing the way that they did. They're going to be a really good team, but they're not my pick to win the ACC, because my pick to win the ACC, as I'll be submitting sometime soon, is the Virginia Cavaliers. They are best equipped for a 20-game schedule, and I think they're going to win the league because I have less concerns about who they are versus what North Carolina is. I have a lot of concerns with the Tar Heels. The expectations, as we've been talking about, bothers me. If I were to ask you, if you disagree with what I'm saying right now, you could tweet me at WSJS Radio, but what I would ask you is, who's the best shooter on the Tar Heels? I'll ask you, WD, right now. You need to knock down a three. This guy's wide open. Who are you most confident knocking down that shot for North Carolina?
I mean, even though he's had his points, I mean, I'd still probably go to Caleb Love.
If it's Caleb Love, then I have some concerns. If that is your most efficient, most reliable three-point shooter. Conversely, I know what you're banking on when it's Virginia. Virginia knows exactly what they're supposed to be, who they are. They are a school that thrives on its pack line defense, on system, on development. And that's why, for the first time in 7 years, Virginia getting its entire starting five back is going to really elevate them from a team that didn't make the tournament last year to one I think is going to be the prime of the ACC, going to be the best team in the conference. Nobody else can say that they're bringing their top six scorers back, including an all-ACC caliber player, Defensive Player of the Year candidate Reese Beekman, and Jaden Gardner, former Pirate, by the way. The returners, they didn't stop Tony Bennett from being proactive. So you do have the top six scorers back, but in addition to that, they have a top 10 recruiting class. They have a point guard from West Virginia who's going to come in and probably take some minutes from Kihei Clark, who feels like he's been there forever, a former national champion on that 2019 team. You're talking about adding a three-year starter from Ohio, who is a knockdown three-point shooter at 6'9", averaging 14 a game last year. I look at this team. Virginia's won 5 of the last 9 ACC regular season titles. I think they do it again. So while all the hype is with North Carolina, my pick to win the ACC in basketball this year is the Virginia Cavaliers. I'm also maybe doing this just to suck up to my wife. Okay, moving things along. WD, Matt Rhule, no longer the Panthers coach. 2 blocks away from us, he was fired here in Uptown Charlotte. We're here at ACC Tip-Off, and we're here because of the kind folks, our sponsors, David Maynard and Elizabeth Swanson with Maynard & Associates Wealth Management, and also Omega Sports, Thruway Shopping Center. They have that re-grand opening a few weeks ago. It's a wonderful store. Go visit them, and also in Greensboro as well, you can find Omega Sports. Thanks to them that we're here. A couple blocks away from where Matt Rhule got fired, where is the next stop for Coach Rhule? That's what we're trying to figure out, because when I look at some of the reports, some of the whispers, so commonly is Matt Rhule being linked to Lincoln, Nebraska. Being linked over there because big fan base, here's an NFL coach, this guy had success in college, it makes all the sense in the world. But let's just play a game real quick. If Matt Rhule, in a hypothetical, was offered, let's say, every job that is currently open in college, and you're talking about Nebraska, Wisconsin, Auburn soon to be open, Louisville, Arizona State, all the jobs that are open. Let's say, in a hypothetical sense, Matt Rhule has his pick of the litter. What would be the best fit for Matt Rhule? What would be the best destination for him to have success? And likely, whatever the answer to that question is, assuming there's interest on the other side, might be where Matt Rhule ultimately ends up. And the place that I keep defaulting to, actually, you know, let's do this process of elimination. I'd veer away from the SEC West. If you're going to Auburn, odds are you're inviting an opportunity to be fired in 3 or 4 years, going up against Alabama and LSU when Brian Kelly gets that fired up, and several of the other places as well that are really tough to compete against. How about the Big Ten? I'd veer away from them too. Like, I get it, Nebraska and Wisconsin on the other side from Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and those big boys, and Penn State. But I'd stay away because when you look at the level of success Rhule has had in college, it's not at some of these big boy programs. And when he was in the NFL, when he played teams that had even talent to him at the top level that football offers, when the margins were small, Matt Rhule didn't win as often as he did when the margins were a lot wider at Temple and Baylor. So if you have your pick, I don't know if those make sense. And also, Wisconsin's probably going to give Jim Leonard the entire runway of the season to audition for the job. So I don't think Wisconsin's a fit. I don't think Nebraska is the best option I'd choose. I don't think he'll want to go to Georgia Tech in the Southeast footprint, where he's going to have to come to the Westin here every year and be asked why things didn't work in the NFL time and time again. also a lot of challenges at Georgia Tech from an academic perspective. That, not saying Rule can't handle. He handled it at Baylor, handled some challenges at Temple, but I don't think that would be the ideal sense. The place that makes the most sense to me for Matt Rule is Arizona State. West Coast, Pac-12, lot of resources, and a place that when you look at the expansion of the playoff that's coming in the next few years, the 12-team format, you got great access to the playoff and a conference that's a lot easier to get to the top and a lot more realistic to do so than the Big Ten and the SEC. They're capable of paying you. Great state to live into. Arizona State, that seems like the place that would be the best landing spot for Matt Rule.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
B-Dot's here, six-man Tar Heel basketball.
Six. What's happening?
He's mad at me twofold. Number one, he's mad because Tar Heel players and Hubert Davis are currently behind the double doors in front of us talking to the media, and he'd much rather be in there where they're at than sitting at this setup with us. And reason number two is on social media, where apparently in the last half hour or so, we got a picture here of B-Dot, a video as well, of you holding up the NC State fingers.
You're going to say that right when Kirsch is walking by here too?
Yeah.
Huh? You're going to say that right when Kirsch is
Steve
walking
Kirshner
by.
Steve Kirshner walking by from North Carolina. You were holding up. It's in front of the entire world and God to see. It's on social media now.
Yeah, my Carolina family, my Hills House family, they're definitely sending me messages like, my eyes are bleeding, Dot, what are you doing? But the reality is, like, Coach Keats is my guy. Like, and I've told y'all, like, he tried to recruit me. Like, 2 years in a row he tried to recruit me to come over there to NC State. But he's a friend of mine. Cam that went to NC State, friend of mine. Breon Pass, friend of mine. And you notice, Josh, today, everybody's friends today. Like, this is before the season starts. Like, everybody's cool. So, you know, we just took a picture. I just threw up the whoop. He said, throw it up one time. I was like, I'm not throwing it up. He's like, throw it up, man.
Everybody, like, right. Everybody's so friends. So when John Shire asks you to sing the chorus to Every Time We Touch, I'm sure you were doing that too, right?
No, I ain't no damn puppet. No, I ain't going to be sitting here singing songs because Shire asked me to sing a damn song. Imagine me doing that. Shire better be glad he ain't seen me too. You strategically are doing interviews when I'm not here. Like, you talked to him early because you knew I was downstairs with the boys. Then, like, where is Shire?
It is
where
amazing
is
that you walked up right as we were finishing up with Shire.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It wasn't intentional that Shire rolled up right before you did.
Yeah, he's dodging me. Him and that roach kid. Where's the roach guy? Okay, I grew up in the projects. I know about roaches. I wanted to talk to one. What's going on, baby? You feel me, Darren? I'm trying to figure out what's going on, DV. Like, let me know.
Are you trying to start a fight? Is that what's happening?
Listen, we want
after
all
saying everybody's friends today?
We are friends.
I'm getting mixed vibes from
B-Dot. I'm friends with who I'm friends with. Like, I saw my boy Davian. Like, are we going to talk to him later?
Yeah, Davian's going to drop by our set in about 15 minutes.
That's my guy. Like, that's my friend.
I actually have an idea. Did you pitch this to him? I think we need to play grammar school with somebody.
Oh, I'm with that.
And I'm thinking Davian is Winston-Salem through and through.
Fair.
He is Winston-Salem to his core.
Yeah.
Do you think he'd be a good player to play grammar school with?
Well, I'm confused in what you mean by play. Like, he could be someone that you could use as one lifeline, but I don't think he should play. Like, he's going to know everything I'm talking about.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, like, he's in the
okay,
he's
so
in the
Davian
right.
is just going to play grammar school with us and point and laugh when I get things wrong.
There we
that's
go.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
So that's
great.
Like the rest of us.
Yeah,
in,
yeah.
in about 10 minutes, that's
yeah.
what we'll do.
Say less.
Davian will point and laugh at me from Wake Forest basketball as we play grammar school. Okay. So, pretty good explanation on your part, and by good explanation, not a good explanation at all.
We're family, man. Like, Kevin Keats, that's my guy.
You had to sing Cascada one time on the radio.
I was dared. I lost a bet.
Why was that?
My Cowboys didn't do as well as I thought they were going to do. They didn't win 10 games a couple seasons ago, and I sang karaoke on your show, and I allowed you to pick the songs. So, you gave me Rhinestone Cowboy, Cascada. And I'm going to tell you how ignorant I was to Duke stuff. I didn't even know that Cascada was one of their songs. Like, I didn't even know that that
was
their
thing. Well, we just talked with Shire right before you rolled up. And
convenient.
He said that he's boys with Ninth Wonder.
Of course.
And Ninth has been wanting to maybe change things up. Now, he said Cascada is going to stay.
Crap.
But maybe mix some things up at Cameron.
Crap.
Get some different types of music in there.
See, they trying to see. There's Kelsey, too. She's
Kelsey
awesome.
Riggs talking trash.
Kelsey's amazing. She's sitting here eating cookies. She's wearing green 2 days in a row. She had a Kyler Murray outfit on yesterday.
I ate the sticker. Is that a sticker?
It is supposed to be edible. It is supposed to be edible, I think.
Don't eat it, Kelsey.
It's probably – I would
not.
Don't
try it, Kelsey. Is it edible? She's trying.
Derek, give her a headset real quick. I just want people to know what she's eating.
All right, Kelsey, explain yourself here. I'm
real quick. Don't give her a headset real quick. Don't mess up her hair.
Television. Do not
mess up her hair. Kelsey Riggs of the TV is doing radio right now.
What it looks like I'm eating is a white – hockey puck.
It does look like
small.
A hockey puck, and it has an ACC logo
and
on it.
And then you bite in it, and there's a Oreo in it, which is actually very exciting.
Talk
but
about it.
There's what looks like a sticker on top of it. So I peeled it off, but yeah. I think – I don't know if you guys are actually my friends or not because you told me I could eat it.
I told you not to. I specifically said don't.
Let me get a picture of this thing. There it is.
Yeah, so –
you definitely ignored me. Producers are trying to get Kelsey back.
All right, get back to your setup.
All right, thanks, guys.
There you go.
I'll let you know how it turns out.
Peace, girls.
Let her go. All right, there you go.
It's a free-for-all.
All right, for the record, I tried the cookie yesterday, ate half of the sticker, and am fine. So I assumed it's edible, all right? I didn't mean to have Kelsey.
So did I eat a sticker?
That surprises no one.
Was
Josh,
I not
okay?
supposed to eat that?
Who eats stickers? Randolph Childress right here.
Well,
Randolph
I thought it was
Josh, when
of
was the last time you ate something with the wrapper on?
What's interesting
you
about
have an
that
answer. He has an answer.
What's interesting about that?
See, this is the part where he gives out the phone number, right, Doc?
I am 336-777-1600. No. I didn't eat it, but it reminds me. I am never a complainer. I'm not the guy who wants a free movie or something like that if they show the wrong trailer or something. Or, like, if you get the wrong movie initially before they flip it. Or if, hey, this is just slightly more medium. This is slightly more rare than I want. Send it back to the
You're
kitchen.
You're going to compare that to eating the
wrong No. Right. Listen. The only time I can ever remember sending something back, I could not eat it, was when I asked for a cheeseburger, and they brought out a burger with melted on cheese that was still in, like, the little plastic sleeve melted onto the burger.
You might have had a case.
Wait, that's the only time I ever sent it back. Like, picture, you know, like the little cheddar cheese squares?
Like a Kraft single.
That's right. It was still in the plastic wrapper, melted onto the burger. They cooked it on top of the burger.
Over under McDonald's.
It was not McDonald's. But, you know, I knew the owner of the restaurant. He got me a free meal. It was all good. There you go. That's the only time I sent it back. So what?
Exactly.
Randolph Childress.
So you didn't answer the question.
Can you hand the headset to Randolph Childress?
I'm handing it.
You know, it's a free for all, man.
You know, it's weird. Wait, this is how you know you're doing a good radio show when people just come on and they wanted to chime in on things, whether it be Kelsey Riggs or Randolph Childress.
Yes.
Or they're just watching. You try to explain yourself out of this non-answer because you've eaten something wrapper and all before.
That cookie / brownie / Oreo,
it's
whatever,
an Oreo
looked edible.
The blue wrapper.
I was saying the same thing. But I,
at
even if it was
like, you know,
edible, like a nibble in to the sticker, I was like, oh, you know what? This just peels right off. Now it's just white chocolate coating an Oreo. I'm going to stick to that.
I only brought this up again to say that I wanted to talk about your Cowboys for a second when you lost the bet. Because Dallas has the biggest game of the NFL this week.
Right.
Sunday Night Football against the Eagles.
House money.
And there's a report. Dak.
Randolph Childress just brought Josh another cookie.
I'm not going to eat the wrapper this time.
You promise?
You got to promise. It's almost Halloween. You're setting bad examples.
Pinky swear.
For the children of America.
Children of the triad.
You got to inspect your
Take the
treats.
Cookies. Yes.
Inspect
take,
them.
Take your candy out of the wrapper before you eat them. There's your advice for the day. But the report says Dak gripping a football. They expect him back. Just not Sunday.
Absolutely
Cooper Rush
not.
Is going to start.
Right.
And it feels like one of those things. He starts until – he loses.
Man, he starts
You don't take a guy out of a winning streak, right?
No, I mean, that's not what the gauge is, in my opinion. My opinion right now is there's no point in bringing Dak back until he's 100%. Right now we're playing with house money.
Or until you lose.
No, I mean, but that'll probably be when he's going to be 100% healthy. I think they should take him to the bye week. We got three games into the bye week. Let Cooper finish it out to the bye week and then bring Dak back.
Micah, if they lose to the Eagles on Sunday and Dak can come back, you going to play Dak?
They probably would, but I would suggest not.
Well, because is he going to be 100%?
Exactly.
Like 100%.
And the damage has already been done. If we lose to Philly, that means we're going to drop. We're going to stay second in the conference. They're going to stay undefeated.
I've always had this philosophy, and I had this philosophy when Christian McCaffrey was banged up the last few years too. If you're healthy enough to play.
I agree.
Plain and simple. Like, I'm not into this. These are professional athletes. These are adults, right? Like, if you're healthy enough to play, play.
Fair.
You get paid handsomely to pay.
Royally.
To play. If you're healthy enough, play. But the question is, would Dallas make that change if Dak were healthy enough to play?
Yes.
If Cooper Rush was still unbeaten,
hasn't
lost.
Cooper Rush threw for 102 yards last game. Like, he's not putting up great numbers. He's just being a game manager, and he's not having any turnovers. He's not losing ball games.
I hate that terminology, game manager. It's almost like it's a pejorative when people say
I don't even know what that word means. What
like,
I'm saying
it's an indictment. It's negative.
No, I'm not saying it's a negative. It's a positive. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do as a backup quarterback in the NFL. He's coming in, and he's leading this team to victory every week. He's 5-0. I'm 100% with that. The stud quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys is Dak Prescott. That is not even a negotiable situation or conversation. Now, Micah Parsons, injured groin. I think he should sit against Philly. I think he should sit and Dak should sit, regardless of how healthy they are. Why? Because we don't have to show our full hand to Philadelphia this first game.
Why?
We lose absolutely nothing if we lose to Philadelphia this first game with Cooper Rush at quarterback and no Michael
you
Parsons.
You lose two games in the standings to them.
We're fine because we see them again.
I know, but then you gain one game.
We've only got one loss in the conference. I mean, in the division.
If you can play, play.
We've already said that, Josh.
Well, you just said Micah, you'd sit him even if he's capable of playing.
Well, I mean, you saw he was definitely injured last week.
Sure.
Growing. And that right there, like a week, are you back in a week?
But if you can play.
No, you said if you're healthy, play.
I said if you can play.
I mean,
play.
Anybody, Dak can play, but he can't grip a
football.
I don't
think he can. You can't play if you can't grip a football and you play quarterback.
You can play if all you got to do is hand the ball off to the running backs and you only pass the ball 10 times a game.
That's
like Cooper Rush has been
doing. That's still 10 times. You got to grip a football to throw those 10 times.
The reality is this. Cooper Rush is playing fine. The Dallas Cowboys are playing with house money. There's no need to rush Dak back. And
ooh.
If there's no,
pun intended?
I don't think so.
Clearly not.
Dak back?
No, there's no need to Cooper
Where's
Rush
the robe
back.
At? Where's the robe at? That's what I'm wondering.
You know the robe's been every Monday.
That's right.
Every Monday since the first week of the season, I've worn the robe every week since then, and I've worn the hat twice.
Darren. Prediction time. I'm about to play grammar school with Davian Williamson and B-Dot. How am I going to do? Am I going to get a passing grade this week?
I mean, you're going to get through it, as you always do.
Will I get
I have
right
faith in
wrong?
Davian. I think Davian's going to help you out a lot. So I would imagine you technically win the game. Yes.
Okay. That's a prediction on Darren Bott's part. Let's figure out if his prediction is correct.
That's on your part.
Places, everyone.
Come on, places, please.
We're ready.
Get your morning off to a great start with Jeffrey Griffin on Triad Today. Weekday mornings at 7. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
Here at ACC Tip-Off, where we're being joined by the pride of Winston-Salem, who just so happens to be a Demon Deacon, one of the leaders of the Wake basketball team. Davian Williamson joining us here, and B-Dot.
What's happening?
B-Dot, sixth man of Tar Heel basketball, is hanging out as well. Davian, there's a game that we play on the show
that
makes me look bad. It makes me look bad. It's called Grammar School. My last name is Graham. Do you want to explain the concept real quickly to Davian?
Absolutely. I just give him three urban words like lit or teed up or gas, and he has to tell me what they mean Well, he has to translate them so that he can know how to talk when he's in these locker rooms.
Exactly.
You know what I'm
saying?
Like, he has to know our vernacular.
Right.
You
so it's an educational experience. Right. So that way, when I cover you guys during the season,
right,
I can use words like OG
right.
or I'm trying to think, 10 toes down.
Yeah, you go. You got to stay 10 toes down.
So it's called grammar school, and they have the sounder to get us going here. Let's play the game.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking.
In high school, he didn't play sports, but he did wear a helmet.
And just when you think it can't get any worse.
My English teacher wanted to flunk me in junior high.
Damn.
Thanks a lot. Next semester, I'll be 35.
Josh is going to attempt to learn BDOT's vernacular.
I'm from the old school. I got a little street knowledge. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
It's time for BDOT's Grammar School.
So I'm going to try and get it right, but I have a lifeline. So if you can, I get to use you one time if I need help.
Bet. You should
right?
be good, though.
I hope so.
Good.
I appreciate your confidence in me. I'm telling you, it's not warranted.
I have to give him three words. He has to get two out of three. Now, yeah, you need to stand some beat up. We've been playing this for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Like, I've used so many. And every week I'm like, I clearly have no more words. But I do. I have three more words for you, Josh.
Okay.
Are you
I also
ready?
Have a caucastic word
Oh,
for
this
you.
Is season two. So now he has a caucastic word that he has to ask.
Okay,
me. Okay, let's go.
It's also comprehension from a conversation we had in the past earlier today.
Crap.
Where is Boston College located?
20 miles outside of Boston.
What's the name of the town? This is the caucastic question back for him.
I don't even know that. Gosh, play them.
You play there. You're supposed to know. You're supposed to be my lifeline. Something Hill, Chestnut Hill.
That's right.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I wanted to scream, but I can't.
Okay. What's the first word you got for me?
I actually got that right. Okay. What does it mean to drop science?
Oh, man. Drop science.
Yeah.
I want to say, like, drop knowledge. Like, man, I'm going to teach you what to know. It's either that or drugs.
Bro, what?
Wait a minute. Dot, you got to tell him.
I'm sorry.
Dot's advice to me.
Whenever he's confused on one of the words, it's usually drugs or guns. That's usually the answer.
Yeah. Right. So that's why I said that.
That's his default answer all the time.
Right, because he told me that's the best way to go.
That's fair.
I'm going to go, like, drop some knowledge. Like, hey, I'm going to drop science on you right now. Wake Forest, top 10 team in the ACC, easy.
Drop some more science on me.
That's it.
Oh, that was good enough.
Boom. Is that right?
Correct. That is correct. Good job. Thought you had some more ACC science you was about to drop on me. Good job, though, Josh Graham. It means just giving information.
Thank you.
What does it mean to grill?
Oh, like to grill somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, like to light them up. Like to criticize them or to roast them, to bash them.
Was that your final answer?
Yeah.
No.
What's it mean, Davian?
Hey, I don't even know that.
Just to stare at somebody, to grill them. If I'm staring at them,
what?
I'm just grilling them. Yes. To grill somebody, ice grill, to stare at them.
That's from your time. We don't talk like that no more.
Grill is definitely a version of.
Man, and nobody might be saying that.
Grill.
like we somewhere at a party and that girl over there living, we're like, well, she grilling me right now. Ain't nobody else.
No, you
that.
Would not say it in that type of context. No, she would definitely just be probably just, what would you say?
I was like, well, she just staring at
she
me.
She peeping you. No, you wouldn't say staring.
Yeah. See, right now, BDOT is grilling your coach because he's still mad that he thought Alondis Williams was the player of the year last year rather than his guy, Armando.
Clearly, Armando Bacot was the player of the year. Ain't that
no,
right,
David? No, it wasn't. It was Alondis. Alondis was the player of the year.
Not even close.
No.
How?
Where did it, like, we're talking about the player of the year. We're talking about the best player for the team
we'll
that
relitigate
year.
That off air because we got one more word that we have to get
Ooh,
to.
Ooh, boy, I was about to. What does it mean if – you might not even need Davian. What does it mean if something is knocking?
Knocking. Oh, boy. That's knocking.
he's trying to talk it out at this point.
Yeah.
I was going to give the phone number out, but we can't do that right now.
You can't.
Not with me being set up here.
Absolutely.
Knocking. I'm going to say, like, I'm thinking this. I'm going to use you as a lifeline, Davian, because I think it's, like, something's, like, really good. Like, that slaps. It's food or something like that. This music's knocking. But I'm going to go to Davian. What does it mean for something to be knocking?
You agree with
Josh, yeah. Knocking. And your answer was what?
Hey, that's like something that's good. It like slaps. It's like, oh, this is great. This music's knocking. This food is knocking. I just had some
No,
Easter.
Food would not be knocking. That would
see, Not that's music, what, though?
No, music would be knocking.
I said music.
But music and food is different.
Okay.
Why would the music be knocking? Because it's what?
It's like
I
want to
give you a three for three.
It's rattling the car.
Which means it's what?
Bassy.
A four-letter L word.
That's three words.
Rhymes with crowd.
Loud.
There we go. If it's knocking, it's loud, bro.
I get credit for that?
I will, just because DW's here, man. Yeah. Say less.
Look.
How did I do, Damien?
I think you did good. Yo. You did good.
I appreciate that.
Hey, Damien was going to come to you for a couple weeks. Like, I don't know. I'm going to go with you on knocking. I don't know what the hell it means.
Hey, I'm learning new stuff on here, too.
See?
What's your What excites you the most? That's been grammar school. What excites you the most about this Deacon team this year?
We fast. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna be pushing the tempo even a lot faster than we did last year. And I'm excited
to
play
fast.
That.
That's scary.
You guys were fast last year, so you're faster.
Hey, you think I'm fast? You ain't seen Tyree play. That's all I'm gonna say.
Tyree Appleby.
That's the dude I just met.
Yeah.
Tyree Appleby. Bringing a little bit of
him.
Pace.
He said, try
Make
to
sure clip him.
You ain't gonna be able to catch him. You ain't gonna be able to catch him.
That's what he's here to do. Davian. Thanks for the time,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, Damian Williamson joining us here on set. Get their mics turned down. They're just staring at each other right now. Darren Vaught's getting back in here. Yeah, I still think they're on the Alondis Williams, Armando Bacot debate. From
Armando.
And we need to get to the bottom of that with him, too. See if we can get a new version of that drop. Figure that piece out. You gonna come back on? Dot's giving me the single finger. So we'll let them handle that debate. Darren Vaught now sitting in with us as he's been here as our on-site engineer / producer. Before we get to the Big Four, the big conversation here at ACC Tip-Off today has been some iteration of NCAA tournament expansion. The Triad's favorite person, Jim Phillips, spoke earlier today about the idea of NCAA tournament expansion, and he's for it. Let's hear from Jim Phillips.
Logistics, first of all, right? And how does it affect the regular season? How does it affect your conference play? Maybe at a weekend, maybe there's first round byes for teams that are ranked at a certain level or seated at a certain level. So it's a Rubik's Cube, you know, times two. But the ability to increase a championship can happen.
You hear that, Darren? Rubik's
a
Cube?
A Rubik's Cube times two. I don't even know what that means.
Makes your head explode. That's big time. Dot's finally done debating Davian Williamson about Player of the Year from last year, has returned to our set.
He's
biased. We're doing a radio show here.
Well, I mean, like, there's a lot going on, man.
You're just debating things with Davian.
Like, it's just a lot going on, man. Like, I'm seeing people that I know and stuff, and then, like, you should see Wes Durham. We're going to talk to Wes Durham later. He's giving me hell out here just because I made a simple slip up earlier. Like, I can't win around here,
you
man.
You slipped up?
I mean –
Okay, you know what? I'm going to text Wes. We're going to get Wes on the show later.
Oh, my God.
We will figure out a way to make that happen.
Thanks. That should be fine.
B-Dot, I think just – I'm debating what the best content is from ACC Tip-Off today. Is it having John Shire, Kevin Keats, Armando Bacot, Hubert Davis, Tony Bennett, Wes Durham? Is it having those guys, or is it just having B-Dot be B-Dot for the last 5 to 6 hours?
Dude, just put a camera.
Why not both?
Yeah.
Keep them here and bring the people around as they come through. Why
it
not?
It is amazing. I don't know if the Kelsey Riggs, Luke Hancocks of the world, I would like to think they'd drop by and still say hello if Dot wasn't sitting here.
Not a chance.
No, you know, we know. We have.
They
we
wouldn't
go back
interrupt
with
your show. They would like because I had to stop Kelsey and start a conversation. She would have just kept walking just because that's the professional thing to do.
Yeah, she was going back to set. Yeah. Her producer came
right.
And was like pulling her away.
The producers
when
are
she
grilling
was,
me right now.
But even though I'm professional,
thank you.
See what you just did right
thank
there.
You.
Even though I'm professional, there's still a bit of inexperience and just a bit of fandom in me that just sometimes exudes through. So whatever.
Getting back to the NCAA tournament's expansion.
You're really upset about this.
I am. I have this feeling about Jim Phillips. And this is I'm not alone in this sentiment. This is a sentiment I felt in the basketball community of the ACC. When Jim Phillips speaks, football coaches feel like that he's speaking for them. Like, speaking out against expansion of the playoff, He is representing the views of his constituents. He views his constituents as being the football coaches. However, basketball coaches do not feel that way about when what Jim Phillips says publicly. Do not feel that way. And I know that that is the case among a handful of coaches. Hmm. Because I guarantee you the majority of these ACC coaches would not prefer expansion of the NCAA tournament. Those who are within the sport would not support messing with what is a great thing. And we're from an area, we're talking to an area, we do radio in an area every day that is the number one market in the country for NASCAR. And if you understand NASCAR just a little bit, you know that that sport was once huge for decades. And the folks in the sport took it for granted. Took areas like North Wilkesboro for granted. And what place am I forgetting about WD that Ryan McGee's from? That name slips me right now.
Kernersville.
Starts with an R. Not that place. not Kernersville. I was that actually was, asking
that was
not, you sincere.
Yeah. That was not hinting at a
I
drop,
was asking
Will.
Sincerely. Like, where they used to have where they used to have races.
Oh, you're thinking about Rockingham.
Yes, Rockingham. When they left those types of tracks to go to like Texas and Kansas
too,
and God
sure,
knows where else, right? They abandoned their core fans. Will it ever get to the point if on a piece of paper you look at a March Madness bracket and with 96 teams, there isn't enough room to fill it out because you're chasing money so much? Will it turn off the casual viewer?
Your attention, please.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
We're back at ACC tip-off, Uptown Charlotte. In 15 minutes, we are going to visit with Tony Bennett. He's going to drop by West Durham, BDOT, on site with us. You'll appreciate this. Got to thank the kind folks who got us here.
Yeah,
and I want to
give
a shout out
Coach.
To Maynard and Associates Wealth Management. Shout out to David Maynard and Elizabeth Swanson.
Thanks,
Omega
David.
Sports,
thanks, Elizabeth.
And also Greensboro and Winston-Salem. They have that new re-grand opening in Winston-Salem, the Thruway Shopping Center, which is always a busy spot. That's your neighborhood sneaker store, Omega Sports, in the Triad. West
Speaking
Durham,
of re-grand openings.
Re-grand opening, re-grand closing. Feels right with Matt Rule quoting Jay-Z lyrics. Maybe not lyrics,
oh,
but
y'all been beating that thing to death.
They have.
Huh?
Yeah. See, we're in Uptown Charlotte and two blocks over. There's a lot of stuff going
49ers
on.
49ers just scored again.
They did.
So did the Cardinals the week before.
Damn.
Uh-huh.
See you cats in 3 weeks on Thursday night with Marcus Mariota.
Oh, joy.
And the birds.
Can you tell Kyle Pitts to suit up? He's killing my fantasy football team.
Oh, really?
Team.
Now it's about me and not we?
Okay, this is what we need to do.
Okay, you want me to tell the story from earlier first?
No! Yeah.
We need to tell this story.
I thought we were taking that to the grave.
Okay, West Durham.
Hard to do when you did it in front of 100 people.
I'll let you set the stage for what BDOT did earlier.
Oh,
all right,
God.
Here at the fabulous Westin in Uptown Charlotte, where we're staging the ACC tip-off, presented in part by the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network, an ESPN subsidiary. They have these fabulous escalators, and some of the participants come riding the escalator up, and when they come up the escalator, it brings them into the middle of the promenade area, Josh, right?
What's that P word you just said?
Promenade.
Yeah. Were there a bunch of radios?
There are
set
a bunch
up?
Of radios, the
yeah.
ACC
television.
Network television,
yeah.
A lot of dignitaries and celebrities
yeah.
are standing here, right?
Yeah.
So as you come up the escalator, everybody looks around and so forth. Well, earlier today, the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill contingent arrived, headed by Armando Bacot, Caleb Love, R.J. Davis.
Ooh, R.J. Davis.
And head basketball coach Hubert Davis.
HD was there.
And as they got up the escalator, all of a sudden in the room, we started hearing this. Yeah, yeah. Claps.
There they are.
There they are.
Who's doing that?
You what? Were. You were.
What? I get excited.
Brian.
I get excited.
He used your government.
BDOT became legal. Brian. I look over there. I'm like, really?
What does it say on your credential, by
Brian
the way?
McLaughlin.
What you told him to say, Brian
government
McLaughlin.
Name.
You always do that.
I actually
you to
wrote
BDOT
this time around.
They're not putting
around.
That on there.
They
should. Atlantic Coast
I wrote
Conference.
That. I wrote
BDOT
that.
is a trademark name. BDOT is a real name.
Okay,
it's not
that's
just
fine.
A moniker.
I wrote that on the actual request. They wrote your government name. I don't believe
it. It's a wonder, though, when they came up the escalator, you didn't hug them as they reached the top of the escalator. That would have been a bit much, I think.
Well, it's only because I couldn't get there.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, I was actually about to do an interview with Josh here.
I'm looking at people around the room, and B-Dot's like, "Woo, yeah, let's go. Here they are." And I'm thinking, I'm looking at people going, "What in the world?
Who's the new weird
guy? Who is that guy?"
Yes.
What did you make of the commissioner's comments about the ACC or the NCAA men's and women's basketball championship?
Oh, the expansion thing?
Yes.
That part in particular?
Mm-hmm.
Look, I get it. If we're going to look at all of it, we ought to look at all of it. I don't think it's necessary. I think what we're doing is we're just bringing, you know, more participation ribbons to the table.
But anytime commissioners bring up stuff like that and they're willing to go there and say, "Oh, we're just looking," usually that's not what it means.
No,
like
no.
When they said, "We're just going to look at the
moving
headquarters."
I disagree. No.
We're just going to look.
No.
I think they've already looked, too.
Two separate levels.
Understand.
Okay, first of all, when they're looking at this, they're looking at the National Collegiate Athletic Association's biggest money maker. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have to recognize that. We also have to recognize that there is a $600-some million contract that's tied to that event, right?
Yes.
With the CBS and
TV
Turner.
Deals, yeah.
That
okay.
goes through 2030.
Right. ESPN also facilitates their renegotiating at some point the women's event. So we understand the quality of the events. That's fine. We're getting to that. I think the women are doing the double regionals this year, which is going to be interesting to see, where you don't have four regional sites. You only have two, right? Mm-hmm. You guys are aware of that, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I think you have to look at the event. Now, in terms of the number of teams, there's really only one way to go, and that's the 96. You're going to go from 68, you're going to go to 96.
You can't fit that on a piece of paper.
Well, it doesn't matter. Your office pool is not their problem.
It is their problem until when people stop engaging in it.
I don't disagree with
that.
Okay, I don't disagree with that either. And we can have a similar conversation to the college football playoff expansion.
I could fit 12 on a piece of paper.
That's fine. But we're not doing it for that. We're doing it for the revenue.
Sure.
And that's why.
But that part of it, though, I'm with Josh, though, Wes, and the idea that part of it is what generates so much money.
There's no question.
You got people that don't give a dang about the tournament but play those.
I'm going to watch Ohio play Virginia because I've got the 14-3 upset.
Okay. Right. But, B-Dot, to your point, I think the fan experience is going to factor once they get to the table. But they have to do some due diligence on it. The problem is, I think, as they do the due diligence, they're going to find that America is so disconnected from basketball that they need to keep the framework of the event as the framework
and
is.
And that's the part where, if you expand this thing further, you make a product that's already hurting. And I'm talking about regular season basketball.
Irrelevance in regular season.
Less.
That's right.
Meaningful.
Basketball has to be very pragmatic about what it's doing and very careful. Remember now, we've now, in the big sports calendar, we've pushed the Super Bowl back a week. I think you and I had this discussion last year. When you push the Super Bowl back a week, does that postpone America's engagement with college basketball 1 week? I could argue it does.
Right. I would agree with that.
I would agree, too.
Because most of America does not engage in college basketball until after the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
The rest of America only engages for 3.5 weeks.
Right.
And that's the national tournament. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we have to be careful. Are we, by expanding the tournament, are we endangering the regular season? Well, the regular season's flipping all blown apart at the seams anyway with made-for-television events, MTEs, those kind of things, right? So we just have to be careful how all that sets up. I think long-term here, we have to keep an eye on what is good for the game of college basketball. But right now, it's the NCAA's warehouse for its revenues.
Right.
And that's where this is reached.
I wanted to get your thoughts on this while I got you. Kay. Wes Durham's here. We're in Uptown Charlotte. ACC tip-off, B-Dot on side, too. So, a couple days ago.
I think he's more than just on site. He's an active member of the media here today. Apparently a very
six-man
vocal member of the media at times. Yeah.
And a bit inexperienced.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
So, a couple blocks away, news was made at Uptown at Bank of America Stadium. Matt Rhule was fired. What?
You cried. You wept.
I wept?
Yes, you wept. I'm sure you did.
I was.
You've been the biggest Matt Rhule defender
building.
For 3 years.
See, that's not necessarily true.
Wow.
I just don't think he should have been
fired
after two.
Look at some of the shunning attitudes that's been. So when that statement was uttered, look at some of the attitudes that were
approached. I just don't think he should
have
been fired after year two. I still stand by that.
You think he should have been?
Should not have been.
Oh.
Should not have been. In terms of you're sending messages to whoever you're going
to
hire.
So you waited
next.
5 games into year three to fire him, and you felt like he shouldn't have been fired after year two?
I agree.
Okay, so he was fired at 2 1/3 years?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, good. Just checking.
Okay.
I
so
love it.
When you think about why it didn't work, there are people that put, because sometimes we get lazy with simplicity, we put Matt Rhule into the same box as Petrino and Lou Holtz and Urban Meyer because they're college coaches that, air quote, didn't work. When you look at why it didn't work for Matt Rhule, is it anything to do with something he did in college not working in the pros?
No.
Or is it more about the quarterback?
I'll ask you this. How many games did his best player play again?
Well, he
in
missed
2 years and a third.
Right.
Yeah, he played 10 games in 2 years, the first 2 years. He played the first few this year.
Wow.
Not great.
15
so
games
that's
in 34 years.
Plus 5 is 42. Mm-hmm. And he basically played less than half. Is that about right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Sorry. Games. I
games
got it figured out.
And then quarterback. It's you didn't get it right. Oh, but why didn't you draft somebody? Who would you have drafted? I mean, Justin Herbert was taking a pick before Derrick Brown was. And the year later, you talk about, okay, you should have taken Fields or Mac Jones. Are we having a different conversation in year two of
those
two quarterbacks?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But you also
tried to get Deshaun and Stafford. It didn't work out.
Yeah. I mean, the reality of it is your best player didn't play but less than half of your games, right? 20-some to 47 games, right?
That's right. Fair.
Roughly. So there. I mean,
officially, he coached 38 and McCaffrey played in 15. So more than half.
Wow. Wow.
There it is.
Okay.
23 of the games he did not
play. Look, I can tell you that if – look, I think Matt Ryan was the Falcons' best player the last 5 years he was there. Okay? So if Matt Ryan did not play the last – played less than half the games the last 5 years, they would have had coaching turnover. They'd have had GM turnover. They'd have had whatever.
Fair.
Because what I default to is Matt Rhule a worse coach than Cliff Kingsbury? Is Matt Rhule any worse of a coach than – fill in the blank, Zach Taylor at Cincinnati.
Yeah, but see, the landscapes of the league are all secular, okay? Every job is different. There are 32 of them, and they're all different in some way, shape, or form, right? Mm-hmm. Because you start with a different deck of cards than the next guy. You know, Matt Rhule and, you know, however, Scott Fritter are starting with a different deck of cards than Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith in Atlanta.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Mike McDaniel and, you know, whatever conglomerate is in Miami at this point, or – you know, Jacksonville and the situation there, right, with Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke. They're starting with different decks of cards. What you have to do is you have to be able to exchange the cards and be productive with the hand that you've been dealt. And that's hard to do sometimes.
I'm standing, just keeping the conversation with the Panthers because he's a Cowboy fan, and it's
– What you mean? We straight.
Just a little obnoxious.
We straight.
I just don't want it to
What's
go
the problem
there.
Is? I ain't saying
Until
nothing.
Until the next injury.
Or the next game against Philly.
Don't speak that on us. And listen, I'm not worried about Philly, okay? Philly, undefeated in the conference, but we are straight. We are clicking on all cylinders.
I got to be honest with you.
And we're playing with house.
Look, let me just offer this to you. The only redeeming quality of any Dallas Cowboy game right now is Jerry Jones postgame.
Yeah.
It's the best part of the whole deal. And Brad Sham's a friend of mine. And I tell Brad all the time, best thing about your games is when the owner / GM / lead singer and driver of the Winnebago grabs a microphone.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
It's not even close.
Wes has to go. B-Dot also has to
go. Hey, good job with live action the other night.
Thank you, WD.
Yeah,
appreciate
man.
That's a catchphrase now. That is live action TM.
See you for Gardner Webb.
Absolutely.
I'll be there for Gardner Webb.
Yeah, man.
All right. See you both.
See you guys.